Welcome, and thanks for joining us for the weekly podcast of Center Church San Diego. We are so happy to connect with you online today. You matter to God. You really do. Whatever your past, no matter what your circumstance right now, God loves you. And you belong right here. Hope starts now as we invite Christ to take his rightful place at the center of our lives. So let's jump in.
Good morning. My name is Josh. Man, I was a little early. Man, I'm always on Filipino time. That was a little weird happening there for a second. But man, my name is Josh. I'm one of the leaders around here. Man, what's good? What's Gucci? Man, you guys look good. Man, don't mind me. I say weird stuff like that all the time. I work with the middle school and high schoolers, our center students, and you got to be hip to the lingo at a given moment. So last week, our lead pastor, Marcus, he show you his "How hard did aging hit you?" challenge. It's when you compare your first profile pic on Facebook with your current one you post it on social media. So I guess I should do mine. I think that's the only thing right to do, right? Should I do that this morning? So this is my very first profile pic in 2012. Oh Lord, jeez. I'm not sure what that pose was. I didn't own any shirts with sleeves. I was finding myself, people. Okay. I'm a late bloomer, but this is my current pick. My current pick at. Let's go to the next one, guys. Oh, there, woo! Lord, you might have seen me in the remake of Ocean's 11, Benjamin Button, Fight Club. No, I'm just kidding. You know, let's show the real one, guys. Let's go to that next pick. My current one. Wait, hold up. Wait a minute. I'm a soul man. Man, it's a lot of... That's our lead pastor, Marcus. Man, we found a treasure trove of this stuff recently, man. There's a lot of soul going on in this pic. Slapping the bass. But as you can see, we don't take ourselves seriously, but we do take God very seriously. So on to more spiritual things this morning. You picked a great weekend to hang with us. Man, shout out to everyone watching online or via podcast. We're going to continue our series, The Life That You Were Meant to Live. And I like how it was said last week that this series was meant to put some fresh air or perspective into your 2019. Maybe you had a hard 2018, okay? Maybe you had a subpar last couple of years and you just need some fresh hope to help move you forward into a new space as you walk out this faith journey. I want to encourage you with this, okay? You are not alone. You are not alone. You're actually sitting in a room full of people, real people, with real struggles. And from time to time, we can all use some fresh God perspective in our lives. And there's no better time than now. There's no better time than today. You don't have it all figured out, okay? I don't have it all figured out, and that's okay. We're gonna work with this. We're gonna work at this together. If you got that outline or you use the app this morning, we're talking about discovering our purpose. And we'll unpack some ideas that can really cultivate a faith-filled path of living out God purposes in our lives. And I want to start us off with a conversation between this guy named Peter and Jesus. It's in John 21, verses 15 and 19. I'm going to read it for us this morning. It's up on the screen. It says this: "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said. 'You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.' Again, Jesus said, 'Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?' He answered, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Take care of my sheep.' The third time, he said to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time." In this part of the scripture, that word "hurt," in other translations, they actually use the word "grieved." And to translate that or make that a little bit more clear in a word picture is, it's when we feel so much grief or hurt that our chest actually feels heavy, our heart feels heavy. And that's what Peter was experiencing this when he was having this conversation with Jesus. He was hurt, he was grieved, his chest felt heavy because of something in his heart. Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Then he said to him, "Follow me." So to give you some context, Jesus was crucified. He had risen from the dead, like he said. Peter was one of Jesus' closest friends. He hung out with him all the time. He followed his teachings. He was one of Jesus' close, you know, homies. They hung out all the time. But during a season of doubt, having Peter's world turned upside down, when Jesus was arrested and he was crucified, when Peter was asked by people if he was one of Jesus' friends, during this season of weakness, Peter actually denied that he even knew who Jesus was. He literally turned his back on Jesus. You got to understand, in previous chapters to John that we're talking about this morning, Peter actually goes samurai ninja, if you haven't read it before, and he cuts off a dude's ear trying to defend Jesus. He cut off a dude's ear, and not that, you know, someone needs to defend Jesus, but he cut off this dude's ear defending him. And now when people ask, he actually denies even knowing who Jesus is. Scripture even says that Peter started cursing and swearing, like, I don't know him, bleepity bleep bleep, like stop talking to me, I don't even know this guy, leave me alone. Then we come to this conversation between the resurrected Jesus and Peter, and now we kind of understand why Peter felt hurt, why there was heaviness in his heart, why he had grief in his heart when Jesus asked him for the third time, do you love me? Jesus then challenges him with this statement at the end. We just read it. Jesus says to Peter, follow me. Follow me. From that moment on, that's exactly what Peter did. And he walked out the purposes that God had for him. He became one of the greatest apostles and servants of Christ who have ever lived. Trust me, Peter is, you know, if he's in the Hall of Fame of disciples, if I can put it that way, okay? His jersey's retired in the rafters, if I can say it that way. So what does that mean for you, and what does that mean for me? It means that no matter where you are on the continuum, okay, of following Jesus, we all have flaws, we all make mistakes, we all experience some deep hurts that make us doubt our faith at times. But I've got news for you. There is hope. There is hope. You're not alone. Even one of the greatest apostles to have ever lived even had his bad days too. You might not realize it yet, but God has an incredible purpose for each and every one of us here today. It's huge. It's actually pretty profound. It's very significant, and it's attached to experiencing true fulfillment and joy in our lives. So how can I live a life that was meant, how can I live the life I was meant to live through this thing called purpose? Number one, if you're taking notes this morning, is this, in discovering my purpose. The only thing that gets in the way of God's purposes for me is me. The only thing that gets in God's way of purposes, of God's purposes for me is me. I don't know about you, but I can resonate with Peter. Sometimes, man, I can get in my own way. Sometimes it's my attitude. Sometimes it's my heart. Sometimes it's my knee-jerk reaction to life's curveballs is what gets in the way of me stepping into what God has for me, his purposes for me. Something we say pretty often around here, if you've been with us here for a little bit, it's kind of a mission statement of our church that we say here all the time, and I love it. It's this: Christ at the center of me, and then me at the center of his city. Christ at the center of me, me at the center of his city. Maybe you want to write that down in your margin. Christ at the center of me at the center of his city. A great place for us to start when discovering our purpose is inviting Jesus into the very center of our hearts. That's where we can start. But why is that significant? Why is that so important? Because oftentimes the biggest thing that gets in the way of God's purposes for me is actually myself. It's me. I don't know if that's you too. I'm usually at the center of Josh, okay? I want to call the shots. I want to be the head honcho in charge. I'm usually the one at the center of me. And when I am, I actually miss out on the real purposes that God actually has for my life. Luke 22, verses 27 to 29, this is what it says. It says, for who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? It is not the one who is at the table.
But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom just as my Father conferred one on me. This is what Jesus was saying. If there's anyone who deserves to be the greatest, all right, if there's anyone who deserves to be the GOAT, the greatest of all time, it's him. He's the one who deserves all the credit. But even though he deserves that kind of honor, he willingly shows up to serve instead. He willingly shows up to serve someone else. Like, who does that? What kind of person does that? And he's asking us the same question he asked Peter. He's asking the same question he asked Peter. Do you love me? Do you really love me? And if the answer is yes, okay, yes, Lord, come into the center of my life, then what that looks like for us on a daily basis is serving other people. It's actually counterculture to sometimes how we operate. And if we're honest, man, it's not our go-to reaction, right? During a hard week of work, maybe some of us went back to school. I did that too. Getting kids to karate, dance, ball games, and all the other everyday things we face, our first choice isn't sometimes to serve somebody else after our week's been hard. Man, somebody serve me, right? Sometimes that's what it looks like for us, man. These dogs are barking, like they're straight up howling by now, man. It's already Thursday, and I'm having a hard week already. Someone get me a cold one, man. Feed me grapes off the vine. Someone serve me, please. I'm having a hard week. And our weeks are maybe full of people, and they're full of situations that allow me to get in the way of myself. Maybe you've been there too. And Jesus is asking you this question today. Do you love me? Then take care of my sheep. That's our purpose. Take care of my sheep. Getting your head out of your own issues, getting your head out of your measly issues throughout your week or your month or your year and serving somebody else, putting them first. The only thing that gets in the way of that purpose, God's purpose for me, sometimes, man, it's me. It's me. Number two, if you're writing this down this morning, God's response to my many failures is always multiplied grace. I love that. God's response to my many failures is always multiplied grace. It's pretty interesting to me that Jesus asked this question to Peter three times in a row. All right, if you read that passage, why would Jesus do that? It's not like he didn't know the answer, okay? But there's actually huge significance of the number three in the pages of Scripture. And we're going to talk about some of that this morning. And these are some of those facts. It's the biblical number for completeness, the number three. Completeness. It usually indicates something of extreme importance about God. It's like, hey, pay attention. I'm telling you this multiple times. Like, take a look at this. Pay attention to this part. It's a number of the Trinity. I don't know if you have church experience, but maybe you've heard this before. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The number of the Trinity. It's God's most significant attribute about himself. You see in the pages of Scripture how they sing, holy, holy, holy about God. Jesus had a three-year ministry here on earth. And then when he was crucified, the Bible says that he rose from the dead on the third day. So three is actually a significant number in the Bible. And I want you to stop and soak in something really important here. Okay, earlier we talked about a huge failure on Peter's part where he denied knowing Jesus three times. Take note of that. And it was predicted and it happened. And remember what three signifies? We just talked about it. It signifies completeness. It signifies completeness. And in Peter's situation, this actually meant complete failure. It's on the opposite end. Complete failure. Not once, not twice, but three times. That's what the Bible says. So this question from Jesus, actually, it reveals something powerful about our many failures, the things that we encounter on a daily basis. So what did Jesus do? What was his response to Peter? Jesus' response to Peter's complete threefold failure
was multiplied grace. It was multiplied grace. He matched Peter's failure on every occasion. And always with a heart of love, he invited Peter to be called up from living down. And that's what God is calling you to today. John 21, verses 17 and 18. This is what it says. It says, the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Underline that last part. Feed my sheep. Jesus always meets us threefold. He always meets us multiplied. He meets us right where we are in our failures with a multiplied, completed grace every single time. When I fumble the ball, when I operate with me as the center, when I live down, his overflowing grace calls me up over and over and over again. Doesn't matter how many times I've blown it. God's response to my many failures is always multiplied grace. And that's great news for every single person here today. The next one is this. Number three. My purpose will always put others first. My purpose will always put others first. So what does that mean? When Jesus asked Peter the question, do you love me? He also gave him an answer to that question that actually details the purpose of our lives. He said, feed my sheep. Put somebody else first. Put somebody before yourself. Stop putting you at the center. Put somebody else before you. Feed my sheep. My God-given purpose always puts others ahead of myself. And that seemed pretty countercultural, right? What most people are saying when they're trying to look for their purpose is, man, I really want to be happy. What can I do to get ahead? And that mentality is usually centered around a me mentality. What can I do to be happy? Well, what can make me get ahead? What can I do to get me ahead of others? Your God-given purpose always puts others first. And when we can truly embrace that and the life of loving Jesus and the things that he loves, there's something that begins to permeate off of us. It actually starts permeating off of our lives. It's this thing called joy. It's this thing called joy, man. It spews out of us. It radiates off of your countenance. It bleeds maybe into your social media posts, okay? Because there's something that's welling up inside of you, and it just can't help but come out of you. Our everyday encounters with people. It influences how we operate. It's that joy inside. When we put others first, man, it's not me first. God's purposes allows or always puts others before myself. Matthew 20, verse 26 is the New Living Translation. This is what it says. I love this verse. Let's read it together. But among you, it should be quite different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be the first must become your slave. For even I, the Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others. Can we underline that? But to serve others and to give my life as a ransom for many. Can I say this? Feeding sheep, it's not an easy job. It's not an easy job. I want to tell you a little story. I'm a city boy, okay? I'm from good old San Diego. One summer, I went to visit one of my college friends who lived on a farm in the Midwest, and I'm like, farm? Like, what does one do in this thing called a farm? Like, I mean, I've owned a hamster before, like, you know, I've been to the zoo, you know what I'm saying? But like a farm, like old McDonald had a farm, that was really out of my element, okay? I'm used to sandy beaches and Balboa Park, all right? So my friend's dad, he was a pastor and a farmer, bivocational, okay? And we took a couple days to help him on this farm. We irrigated the cornfields, Man, one by one, man, we fed the chickens, we milked the cows. Like, talk about organic, okay? Straight from the source. Like, we milked these cows. We climbed these huge, like, metal silos to get the feed, to feed these animals. After just one day, man, I was exhausted. I was like, yo, I'm done, man. We got to go back to San Diego. It's too much. But I was exhausted. And on more than one occasion, I stepped into these farm animal treasures, okay, called poop, all right, from my time being there. It kind of comes with the territory, okay, especially when you're feeding sheep. And every once in a while, when you're putting others first, sometimes you're going to step in a pile of poop. Sometimes it can get really messy, right? People can get really messy, but it comes with the territory. But the purpose isn't about you. Does that make sense? It's not about you. It's about others. It's about putting others before myself. It goes hand in hand in walking out God's purposes for our lives. When I make Jesus the center of my life, when I experience God's multiplied grace that covers a lifetime of shortcomings, when I discover God's purposes for me, it always, always puts others first. Here's the last one, and we'll be done this morning. Number four. We'll take some time on this. My journey begins right where I find myself. This is such a good one, man, especially if you have some church history. I know that sometimes we can come with this expectation of, man, I got to do all these, you know, Christian exercises. Oh, what's up? Hey. And you don't have to do all that. My journey begins right where I find myself. I think a lot of times we complicate simple truth, okay? And we can sometimes get this idea in our heads that we have to turn into a certain person, that we have to have it all together. We got to be in a higher place in life in order to begin following Jesus. But when we reference Jesus' words, John 21:19, this is what it says. Then Jesus said to him, "Follow me." That's what his challenge was to Peter, man. Follow me. He didn't give Peter a to-do list. He didn't tell him he had to reach a certain spiritual or social level, okay? He didn't say, man, complete these five tasks, all right? Do these five things, keep these five rules, and then we'll talk. He didn't say that to Peter. He didn't care about all that. All he said was, follow me. Follow me right where you are, right now, today. The place where you are, the job that you work, the circle of friendships that you influence, the family that you have, the struggle that keeps maybe creeping back into your life, the journey that you're on. Jesus is saying, just follow me right where you are. You don't have to do all that other stuff, man. I'm just telling you, I love you. Just follow me. My journey begins right where I find myself today, no matter what that looks like. And here at Center Church, man, we have built our ministry on some foundational initiatives, man. This is taken straight out of God's word and the great commandment and commission that Jesus gave to us, okay? And it's this: me plus God, me plus my friends, me plus my city, me plus my culture, me being on mission for Jesus where I live, where I work, where I play. Doesn't matter what that looks like or where that is. Me being on Jesus, being on mission for Jesus wherever I am. And that's what we do around here. Jesus at the center of me and me at the center of his city. And we walk that out. You don't have to move to a foreign country, okay, to be on mission for Jesus. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't need a position. You don't need a title. You don't need some like crazy story or testimony to have in order to be on mission for the Lord. Jesus didn't call you to be somebody else. He didn't call you to be something that you're not. He actually called you to be you. He called you to be you. That's who he made. Your journey begins right where you find yourself. The things that you're passionate about, I don't know what that looks like for you, okay? The gifts that God's blessed you with, your personality. Hey, even though sometimes you be cray-cray, I know some of you be cray-cray out here, man. Hey, that's okay, that's the personality that God gave you. Wherever you are, It's your story. It's you. That's the you that Jesus is actually calling up today. That's the you Jesus is actually setting on mission where you are, whatever that looks like. Do you love me? Jesus says, and feed my sheep. Come and follow me. There's no better place to start than right here, right where you are. I want to close this out with one verse, and then we're going to be done today. It's in Hebrews. It's such a good one. Hebrews 12:1 is what it says. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Here's the thing about following Jesus, okay? Maybe you've heard this before. It's not a sprint. Following Jesus is not a sprint. It's not even a marathon. It's actually more closely pictured as a relay race, all right, as kind of pictured in this verse. Maybe you've heard this before. You don't have to do this on your own. You don't have to carry the weight of the whole team on your back. Jesus already did that for you, okay? You don't have to do that. Hold that baton and just run the leg that you've been given to run. Whether you work at a corporate office, whether you're a landscaper, a nurse, an engineer, maybe you're a stay-at-home parent, whatever that looks like for you, your journey begins right where you find yourself. God will use you just being you. The invitation of Jesus hasn't changed. It's still this: do you love me? And follow me. Let's go feed some sheep. Let's put somebody else before ourselves. Let's put Jesus at the center of our hearts and our lives, man. Let's be on mission where we live, where we work, where we play, no matter what that looks like for you. Discovering your purpose, man. Let's pray this morning. God, thank you so much for the opportunity, Lord, just to hear from you. I pray for each and every one of my friends this morning as they are maybe encouraged and maybe challenged by what you got to say. I pray an immense blessing over them. Maybe some folks are just having a hard week. You know, maybe they're having a hard month, God, and they need some fresh air this morning. So I pray that you just empower them, embolden them in their faith as they step out into their week, God. Lord, we love you, and I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to attack this week with power and boldness. Lord, in your name I ask these things. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us today. The question now is, what are you going to do with what you just discovered? Take a step to connect with us in person? Or perhaps choose to support the ministry of Center Church with your financial generosity? Take your next right step and visit us online at centerchurchsd.com. See you next time.